It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tonight, we've got part two of the American Gladiators documentary, 9 Eastern on ESPN. It continues the unprecedented look back at the iconic reality series, which matched amateur contestants against professional gladiators. Part sports, part game show, but all American. That's tonight on ESPN. Meanwhile, before we start a new hour, hey, Brian Windhorst, you used to live down in Florida, didn't you? Why do things like this happen on golf courses in Florida? That's obviously a driving range. Okay. You love golf as much. What the heck is going on here?
This is terrifying.
Greeny, if we see an alligator, it's par, and I'll see you on the next tee. And if you hit the ball near the water in Florida, we don't go looking for it. We just, if we didn't think it went in, we give a free drop. We don't mess around with the alligators, okay? This is rule number one.
It's a dinosaur on a cart path. I mean, that's what we're looking at right there. Monica, what?
That is terrifying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love golf more than I've ever loved anything, and I'm contemplating giving up the game just having watched this video.
I got to shout out producer Tori McMahon. When we all lived in Florida, we learned you run on a zigzag to get away from them in case you ever need to get away
run
from
on a
it.
Zigzag. Fair enough. Okay. Serpentine. All right. As we roll on here,
noted.
We welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We're coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. That's McNutt. He's Windy. Cast of thousands, or at least four or five other people, working on the program this morning. And let's get the hour rolling here with the NBA Finals starting tomorrow night. We begin in Boston with huge questions after the Celtics' stunning elimination in Game 7 on Monday night. Boston, a big decision to make on Jaylen Brown's future and whether or not to give him a max extension. I asked Stephen A. Smith about that yesterday.
You give him $59 million a year to keep him in.
Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
No. I don't think you give. First of all, I don't think you give him that much, period, because he's not your number one option.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of money is reserved for number one.
So then what if he says to you,
guy,
either give it to me or I want out?
Well, excuse me. I mean, there's a guy by the name of Damian Lillard in Portland. I wouldn't mind getting somebody like him who's a closer, by the way, who's a point guard as a closer, who's a sniper. We got all of that stuff going for ourselves if you're Damian Lillard. But Jaylen Brown, I think the real challenge is that he has aspirations for being that number one guy, and that is never going to happen with Jason Tatum.
There, and look, Monica is making that face. And I'll start with that one, but I want to point out we're going to bring Ninko and Harry into this conversation because each of them brings fascinating perspective. But Monica, for those who were just joining us, when you hear people bring up the possibility, oh, they need to break up Tatum and Brown right now, you don't seem to like it.
Hated it. I cannot stand it, Greeny. I think that it is very short-sighted and reactionary. These guys are young. The entire league wishes that they had two talented, two all-NBA caliber guys that work. And the argument in terms of them making one another better, they've only been to multiple conference finals. They've only been to the finals together. And so the onus is not solely on the two of them to push one another. This is a team that needs to reinforce their coaching staff and keep pushing forward. Also, the Dame thing doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. This is a championship caliber roster. Don't break it up.
Here's what I will say. There's one thing I think watching this that would solve all of their problems. It probably isn't an option. But Monica, you cover the Knicks on a day-to-day basis. The difference that a player like Jalen Brunson, I'm just using him as an example, makes when he walks in and all of a sudden the ball is in his hands all the time and he's orchestrating an offense that does not just rely on either give it to Tatum on this possession and Brown on the next one and let them try and make something happen and ultimately we hope that we find an open three or they get to the basket, but someone actually running an offense, I think that would be a welcome change in Boston. What do you think?
I got a timeout on that one just a bit because there's this guy, he was sixth man of the year, he's known as a really good point guard, Malcolm Brogdon.
And he was hurt.
And he got hurt over the course of the run in terms of the last series. And so I think the tweaks that they made last year, Derek White came midway through, got a part of that finals run. This year looked terrific. All defensive team guy, had some really bright moments in Game 7 in particular as a scorer. At Malcolm Brogdon, who is healthy, you have that. I think I get it. The Celtics lost. Everything's on the table. We got a review. They are not in a bad position. This is still one of the most talented rosters in our league, and they have the opportunity to continue winning.
That's fair. So then let me go back to Wendy here on this one, because Wendy told us earlier that overwhelmingly the likeliest scenario here is that the Celtics offer Jaylen Brown this supermax, and he comes back at $59 million a year. But the other piece of what Stephen A. brought up, Wendy, seemed very much to raise your eyebrows and maybe raise the legendary Wendy fingers on the possibility of something with Damian Lillard this summer. Take it from there.
Yeah, so I think right now, I don't think there's a question in the league that Jaylen Brown will be back in Boston. I think most of the league believes that's going to happen. What the league is watching, Greeny, is what's happening in Portland. Because the Trailblazers pretty much came out and showed their cards at the beginning of the offseason saying that they were going to look to trade pieces and draft picks off for players who could contribute right now. Dame Lillard is in his early 30s. He's looking to compete right now. Dame said in his own words, I don't need players on this team that take 2 or 3 years to develop. But then they jumped up in the lottery to the number 3 pick. That is not something that you just give away lightly, especially if it's not for a first team or second team level all-NBA player. And one of those players is not sitting there available for that number 3 pick. Again, look at the history of the number 3 pick. You mentioned Jordan earlier. Well, we'll take a little step back from that. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid. These are all number 3 picks in the last decade. That is not something that you just hand away to maybe get a player that helps you a little bit. And so the Blazers are stuck. What do they do? Do they trade the number 3 pick? Or if they don't trade the number 3 pick, do they have to entertain the other direction? The other direction involves Dame Lillard. So that is probably the most important personnel situation in the NBA between now and the draft in 3 weeks.
Okay, so that will be fascinating to watch. I'm going to leave that there for the moment and circle back to the Celtics. Because in going through our notes this morning, Rob Ninkovich, I'll start with you. You make your home there in the New England area. You know what it's like to be on a championship team in that area and how much it matters to you. And I was fascinated by the notes that you sent in this morning. You know what a championship team does and doesn't look like.
Yeah, and I usually only cover the NFL, but the NBA, Joey Porter nicknamed me Kukoc when I was his teammate in 2007, so now I can talk about the NBA. But I'm with Monica on this one. When I look at the Celtics, you don't want to break them up right now. At this point, watching this team, they are talented, unbelievably talented. But at a certain point, you run out of talent, and that can happen when you're fatigued, when you have a pressure situation, and when you look at the Celtics, the coaching, they need to support the coaching. They had a weird situation where a coach was put into a position this season, and they did terrific throughout the year. Well, they ran out of talent in the playoffs. They ran into a team that had superior heart, and you could just see the heat. You know, where they came out, they had more grit, more attitude. And for me, as a fan, I just think you don't move on from the young talent. You try and support the young talent, you move forward, and you bring in maybe an extra coach, a veteran. You bring a veteran in because when they went in the locker room, they didn't see an older guy throwing a chair across the locker room telling everybody let's go, like I did in New England when Tom was screaming at everybody. So for me, the leadership aspect of any sport, it doesn't matter if it's basketball, football, baseball, you have to have that heart, that leadership, the determination, because talent, you'll always run out of talent. And with age, with being fatigued, with pressure, talent runs out. So you rely on your leadership and your skill. And that's what this team ran out of at the end of the season.
And so, Harry, and I'll remind everybody that not only do you talk about the NBA every single day, coast to coast on ESPN Radio, but you also, your brother Tony, played in the league for a very long time. What does it say about the Celtics? Because, I mean, everyone just said, Nico just said it. They had better players in this series, but they weren't the better team. What does that mean?
You know, I will say this, though, Greeny. Watching the Boston Celtics in this playoffs, it's all about ball movement for them. And when they had 29 assists or more in the regular season, this team was 21-4. So if they have the right ball movement, now they're getting quality shots. You're not seeing these just out of the blue, you know, shot attempts that this team is taking. But I also think having a better orchestrator will allow that to happen as well. Having a better orchestrator out there on the court will not let that transpire time and time again. Also, I believe it's Joe Mazzulla's job to get these guys to get in the right shot selections. And last but not least, I think defense moving forward has to be the first priority when it comes to this basketball team. We know they have multiple players that can put the ball in the basket, but if you don't allow your opponent to score, especially the way the Miami Heat did in that game 7, getting the wide open looks that they did, then your opponent, it's going to be hard for them to beat you. So defense has to be the first priority.
All right, well done, guys. Stay with me on that one. I want to get to another major NBA story. And that takes us out west because it's another championship caliber team with an uncertain future. In fact, they've got 4 championships in recent times. But Bob Myers, who was the man who built those teams, the general manager and president, 2-time executive of the year, the architect of this dynasty, stepping away, telling ESPN, quote, it's just time, and reportedly declining a lucrative new contract. Here he was yesterday on the future of the franchise.
You know, I've only known how to do things one way my whole life, is kind of all the way, and it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything, and that's what it takes to do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
We're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships.
So they're talking about continuing to win and play at the very top level. But it is telling that Bob Myers would choose this path at this time. Wendy, what does it mean? What should the NBA fan look at this thing and say, okay, this tells me what?
It's a huge moment, Greeny, not just because you're losing one of the best executives in the league, and he's doing it at 48 years old. This is not a retirement. This is him, you know, stepping off the stage. But it's also what it portends for the future, because there's one of 4 guys who are hugely important to the Warriors' success who are either at the end of their contracts or have 1 year left and under pressure to get extensions done. Bob Myers is not re-signing. Draymond Green has a contract option out that he can take by the end of June, which there is a large expectation he will do. Then you have Steve Kerr entering the final year of his contract. They couldn't get an extension done with Bob Myers. He ended up being a free agent and left. What about Kerr? And then Klay Thompson entering the last year of his contract. It is clear that he would like an extension. What do they do there? You know, this is the thing. This team is very mature. They are a decade in to this run. And most importantly, Greeny, they're outrageously expensive. They are headed for a payroll this year if Draymond Green re-signs to a reasonable number, approaching $500 million. And I'm not sure that this is a $500 million team that just finished in 6th place and not got knocked out in the second round. And Bob Myers is certainly concerned about what those decisions will be going forward, and that had to have played a role in his decision to leave the team.
So, Monica, I guess I would ask you, understanding that there's sort of a nuanced difference between these two things, mm-hmm. Is it time for a tweak in Golden State, or is it time for a change?
I'm leaning toward tweak, but I think the cost of a tweak is important to point out, right? Like the young guys that they were so excited about didn't take the steps that they thought they would. And so that's currently the roster as constructed. And so we've talked about 4 different teams this mm-hmm. week over the course of the finals that would like to add a veteran 3-and-D guy, like a veteran rebounder. You know, those guys, while it sounds simple, are not necessarily easy to find. A lot of them are on rosters already. And so I'm very curious, and I don't think we can have the conversation about where this dynasty is until we know what happens with Draymond. Candidly, Bob Myers, give him all the credit, the orchestrator of this thing. I think sometimes we skip over the first part of that history where Steph was navigating those ankle injuries and just how fortunate they were in terms of the guys that they drafted. But Draymond obviously is the guy that was on the floor. And Steve Kerr has said that if Draymond is not there, this team is not a championship contender. And so this is ellipsis for me, .. There's still lots left to see.
And we will probably get some information on that relatively soon. Meantime, we'll take a quick break here as we continue this morning. Coming up, Aaron is singing it into existence. You got to see this. You got to hear it. And you will. Coming up. Plus, who's desperate for D-Hop? Where will DeAndre Hopkins end up? Are the rich about to get richer in the AFC? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, time for Wake Up Call. Shohei Ohtani doing the honors.
And Shohei sends one to the moon here in Chicago. It's showtime.
Shohei, number 13. Uto time, Shohei.
Boy, was that crushed. It was his 10th home run of his career against the White Sox, his most against any team that's not in his division. That one went 435 feet, which is the longest home run at Guaranteed Rate Field this season. That certainly looked like it was set to go a lot longer than that. Wind must have been blowing in because that one was just flat demolished by Ohtani. All right, Jeremy Fowler, let's run the hurry up here. Bunch of NFL news. What's going on with Dalvin Cook as soon as tomorrow?
Greeny, let's do it. Something could be brewing with the Vikings and Cook because the Vikings can save $11 million on their salary cap if they designate Cook as a post-June 1st trade. And if they move on, they'd rather get some value for Cook than release him outright. So there should be plenty of interest. Cook, I'm told, has been training in South Florida. He's bracing for a potential change, although he does love Minnesota. Miami has been linked to Cook, so we'll see what shakes out there. Next we have, what do we got? What do we got? DeAndre Hopkins here. So I checked in with a source close to Hopkins. I got a feel for his market. I'm told that many teams have called, probably most of the whole league has at least checked in on this. Hopkins has not cut out anybody. He's open to business for all 32 teams right now. Could take some free agent visits soon. And this is a situation where there's no hard deadline. He'd like to sign somewhere before minicamp, but doesn't have to. Certainly before training camp, he wants all this to shake out and it'll have a new home. A lot of contenders will be involved here. Lastly, we have Aaron Rodgers. So I'm hearing glowing returns from some people inside the Jets building on what it's been like to be around Aaron Rodgers during OTAs. They says he's as advertised. He's vocal in team meetings with the offense. He spent extra time with the wide receivers after practice, and he's shown a ton of leadership early in this process. So this is what the Jets expected. He comes in with pedigree. He's setting a tone, and how long this lasts is entirely up to him.
Wow. We'll see. So far, it couldn't be going any better. And in fact, this weekend, he was in MetLife Stadium, which will be his new home field. It was the Taylor Swift concert. And as the confetti was falling, he was singing everything into existence. Listen. I think that's Miles Teller standing behind him, by the way, isn't it? I'm not 100. I think that it is Miles. He's buddies with Miles Teller. So the two of them are at a Taylor Swift concert watching the confetti fall. And you know what? You have convinced me, Harry, that saying or maybe singing things like that actually has some meaning. Tell us why.
Well, Greeny, my mom and dad taught me early in life, anything that you want to do, you can do it. But you also have to speak things into existence. It's all about having a vision. You know, in Proverbs, it says, where there's no vision, the people will perish. Greeny, you wanted Aaron Rodgers as a New York Jet as your quarterback, right? You spoke it into existence. Now he's there. There's nothing different than what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now. You have to see things happening before they actually happen. And people on the side, people in your rear view, people in front of you might not have that same vision. It's fine. It's not meant for them. That's all I got to say on that, Greeny.
Anyone who doesn't have that vision, we want them out today. I mean, literally, maybe yesterday. Aaron Rodgers believes he's singing it. He's pouring the Kool-Aid, and everyone, Rob Ninkovich, needs to drink it. What do you think of that?
Don't believe the hype. I mean, Greeny, you're spewing out the hype every single day. The Jets, Rodgers, Rodgers. I'm not doing any Bible verses. I said this in the first hour. I'm only going to quote Aerosmith, dream on, because at this point right now, you got a long way to go. You got OTAs, mini camp, training camp, 17 weeks, playoffs. Then the playoffs, you got to get to your championship game. Then you got to win that game. Then you got to get to the Super Bowl. Then you got to win that one as well. And only at that point, only at that point will you be able to look up and see the confetti falling down. Until that point, you're just sipping on that real sugary Kool-Aid with a couple extra sugar cups in that thing. But I do humble brag again. You want me to humble brag some more for you, Greeny?
Show it to us.
This is what you want. You want the authentic. This is authentic confetti that is still stuck in the cleats from winning the Seattle Super Bowl. So thank you, Malcolm Butler. Thank you for the interception. I really enjoyed it. That's another flex. That's another flex. I'm going to stop flexing because I might catch a cramp. He showed that to us.
Well, let me explain something, Ninko. Earlier this morning, you showed that to us, and I said it's an unbelievable flex to have Super Bowl confetti in your cleats on the shelf. Now you have doubled down by pointing out that you have to specify which Super Bowl it was. The fact that you have more than one of those doubles up on the flex. And what we actually realize, hey, Cindy, can we take his shot full? Give me Ninko full. You have more fascinating stuff on that shelf behind you. What else? Let's just play a game of what the heck does Ninko have on his shelf? What else do you have behind you over there?
Okay. We have a game ball for the Atlanta comeback, the comeback game. That's pretty cool. I got a bunch of stuff up here. This one's cool. So my senior year, I got a picture of my dog in here, but I won the MVP I was the Purdue Boilermaker Most Valuable Player. That was cool. You wouldn't think a defensive end would be the MVP of the team, but I was. I got some action figures. Got a little action figure. We've already talked about that before. I have a Super Bowl ring that I just leave there for fun. It's a good ambience.
We need to do a little signed documentary on the things behind
signed
Ninko.
Helmet.
Yeah, he's got a signed helmet from one of the Super Bowls. Okay, we get it. Maybe the Jets will someday get to have the real confetti. Harry, what about that? That was against the Falcons.
Yeah, Ninko, you didn't have to take it there. You could have left that part out of it. I'm here in Atlanta. Now I got to catch heat for what you said on Get Up This Morning. People going to talk about, Harry, you didn't defend the Falcons. Yes, I did, Ninko. I thought that was BS. You could have left the Falcons out of it.
Okay, so maybe we'll have a fight during the break. We'll find out what happens. In the meantime, it is Dame time. Could he actually, Damian Lillard, be on the move? Wendy will tell you why his future is actually the biggest story of the entire offseason. Plus, does a new coach signal the end of James Harden's time in Philadelphia? We're talking about that as we go. And speaking of Wendy, this is a great question today. He's doing the trivia for us. It's from Harrison. Here we go. Wendy, only one player has ever recorded a triple-double in his NBA Finals debut. Now, Nikola Jokic may very well do that tomorrow night. But who's the only player ever to do it? A triple-double in his first ever Finals game. It's a good question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up. I like this question, Wendy. So Nikola Jokic is a walking triple-double. He's playing his first finals game tomorrow night. There's only one player who had a triple-double in his first NBA finals game. Can you name him?
I don't know. I'm just going to guess Magic Johnson. I know LeBron didn't play well in his first finals game, so Magic is my guess.
Magic was my guess, too. The answer is Jason Kidd.
Wow.
Kidd for the Nets against the Lakers.
That's a good one.
Had 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. In a related story, they got swept in that series. But he did have good numbers in game one. All right, that's a fair question. I liked it. The next question I have is, Wendy, take us all over the NBA. No one is more plugged in than the Wind Man. Reveal for us three mysteries in the league, starting with James Harden.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't think anybody should make assumptions about Harden. I don't think anybody should assume that just because Nick Nurse is hired that he is gone. I don't think anybody should assume that he's going to Houston. I think basically we have a history here where James Harden has been willing to work with Daryl Morey. He's been willing to trust Daryl Morey. And this hire would be trusting Daryl Morey. So Houston, Harden is a big question mark, but really keep an open mind is what I think the league is doing. And I would advise 76ers fans absolutely to do as well. The Toronto Raptors, just like at the trade deadline, nobody's really sure of what they're doing. But if they decide to rebuild, which is absolutely on the table, it could make a huge difference in the player availability market. Starting with Fred VanVleet, then if they decide to move on from Pascal Siakam and potentially OG Anunoby, if those players are all available, we could see major shifts in power balance throughout the league. Then again, they could pull back from uncertainty, hire a veteran coach, and keep the team together. It's one of the big things in the NBA. And then we've been talking this morning about Dame Lillard. The number three pick that the Blazers acquired in that draft lottery really is a fulcrum point as we look going into this NBA offseason. Dame has indicated he does not want another young player. He wants a veteran who can help him win now. But the trade options versus the upside of keeping that number three pick are enormous for the Blazers. And which direction that they go, or if they try to split the middle, if they try to keep the number three pick and keep Dame Lillard, is that ultimately going to lead them into a corner with Lillard where he would have to make something go, try to make a demand? So it's probably the Portland situation is probably the most fascinating situation heading into the NBA offseason.
Yeah, with a superstar like Lillard involved in it. And so, Monica, look, if anyone watching knows, I'm an unabashed, huge fan of Damian Lillard. He's only 32 years old. I think people perceive him to be older than he is, which means the way the NBA is now, he's got at least three or four, if not more, years left playing at potentially his very highest level. Should every team right now be trying to find a way to pry Damian Lillard out of Portland?
It has to make sense. And I know that that is not breaking news, but Dame obviously wants to win. And so if you got your roster to add Dame and there's nothing left, it doesn't make sense, right? Like Brooklyn, Miami, these are names that are sort of percolating. Miami to me would be really curious because I think, and we might deal with this in the finals, it is masterful, it is impressive, all that Miami's been able to get out of some of their undrafted guys, but like, we're now in the finals and it is big-time draft pick versus big-time draft pick.
Right.
So like, what does that look like for Miami? If it was Brooklyn, They got a bunch of different pieces in that trade for Kevin Durant that I think folks are interested in terms of role guys. And Dame would automatically be, like, the biggest star there, right? Like, he comes to the Eastern Conference. I'm not sure what other teams are out there in terms of this conversation, but it just has to make sense. Because if you add Dame and you have to gut your roster, you're essentially looking at what he experienced in Portland. Philly could be interesting. We got to see what happens with Harden. So I think the teams that are contending should be exploring.
Well, the good news is I just so happen to have Brian Windhorst sitting right over here to my left who can answer those questions. Give us a short list of teams we should be thinking about as possibilities here, Windy.
Yeah, well, just to be clear, Dame has not indicated he wants to leave.
Right.
So I don't want to put the cart before the horse. But if they use the number three pick, it potentially sets the stage for that. It feels strange to me to talk about a team in the finals like the Miami Heat. But the Miami Heat make a lot of sense if Dame were to become available. They have a number of future first-round picks they can trade. They have a number of interesting young players. It would be a really fascinating opportunity if he were to come to market.
Would I be the only one who thinks the pairing of Damian Lillard... Poor Wendy's got allergies. Am I the only one who thinks the pairing of Damian Lillard and Jimmy Butler would be dynamite? I can't think of two players who feel more perfectly suited in temperament, mentality, attitude, and probably game to play together than Damian Lillard and Jimmy Butler.
No, you're not the only one. That would quite honestly be fantastic. If you can keep plenty of shooting around those guys... Bam stays able to stay in place. They got support in terms of the paint. Like, no, you're not the only one. That would be quite something to behold.
We talk about the Heat culture, the Heat mentality. Uh-huh. He feels like he would fit right into that. In the meantime, the other place that we have our eyes on a superstar is Philadelphia. The 76ers hiring Nick Nurse to replace Doc Rivers, so they replace the Doc with the Nurse. I keep making that joke. How tired are you getting of it, by the way?
I got like another week.
Okay, fair enough. I'll be in Denver by tomorrow, so you won't have to worry about me. Anyway, Wendy, you touched on this at the beginning of your Wendy Watch there, and I wanted to circle back to it here. Alan Hahn was, I think, the first one to make the point yesterday here on Get Up that it does not feel like a fit. Like what Nick Nurse is and represents and what James Harden is and represents doesn't feel like a natural marriage. What should we be thinking there?
Well, it doesn't feel like a marriage compared to Mike D'Antoni, who was an option here.
Right.
But I do think Nick Nurse is a championship coach, and this is a team that was pretty close to a championship team. This is probably as good that James Harden could do of his options going into the market this summer. And I think Daryl Morey and the 76ers are hoping that's going to be compelling. I don't know if 76ers ownership is prepared to offer Harden a max contract. They were not a year ago, which is one of the reasons why Harden was willing to take a pay cut. But there is no doubt that if James Harden returns to this team, they are very formidable, especially if you give Daryl Morey another summer to maybe tweak the roster a little bit. I don't think you should just make an assumption there. I really, really think that's the thing. Nick Nurse can sell a style of play. There were three teams interested in hiring him. That was the case for a reason. He's an innovative coach. He's an aggressive coach. He may not be loved by everybody at every minute, but his track record is strong. This potentially could appeal to James Harden if he has the right plan. He's going to get the opportunity between now and free agency probably to sell him on something.
Look, I mean, Joel Embiid's body is older than his age, right? I mean, so their window is not this, right? Their window is something more like this. So you go out, you get a championship coach. Should they run it back with that? Should they bring back Harden? He should want to be there. They've got a chance. They were in a game. For what it's worth, they were in a game seven, at least for half of the game they were in it. They were in a game seven with a chance at getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Should this team run it back with this new coach and expect a different result?
Why not? You blame the coach. That's why you let him go.
Yeah.
So why not? Yeah, I think, look, personally, and I'll admit this about myself, I'm a little bit reticent to change, especially if something has worked well, but you've come up short. If you really subscribe to the idea that Doc was the reason that they didn't close out game six and look terrible in game seven, which I personally don't, then so you allegedly have fixed your problem now.
Right.
And so I think one thing I will say in this conversation, and James Harden said this to me after game one versus Brooklyn, and he just said it matter-of-factly, and I think it's true, and sometimes we forget, he's been really good for a really long time. And I don't know if he gets the credit for the way that he shifted his game to make it work with Joel Embiid. Perhaps there is a middle ground in terms of allowing him to be more of the scorer that we saw at points in the playoff run and the facilitator that would be more appeasing to him. I have a hard time believing that it's truly about just money and luxury. I do think that he wants to win at a high level. And so I think Wendy made the best point of the morning in terms of his trust in Daryl Morey. But to your question, they were close. They were the closest that they have been in at least 3 years as far as this team that was expected to get over the hump. If you think that Nick Nurse is going to solve all the problems, then yes, stay pat.
Clearly, and to your point, and I think you were making it, they may have blamed Doc Rivers. Most of the rest of the world blamed James Harden, or at least put some of the blame on Harden after his performance in Game 7. Meanwhile, these teams are all chasing future championships. The Heat and the Nuggets are chasing this one beginning tomorrow. So let's do an all-NBA Finals edition of Is That McNuts? If I said Jimmy Butler and the Heat are going to win the championship, is that McNuts?
I am personally boycotting this question, Greeny. I hate you, Artie, for making me answer this. They are going to win a championship one day. I don't know that they are poised to go up against the Nuggets. I think last series we saw a team that was hungrier versus a team that was more talented. That's not the case when I look at this Denver Nuggets squad. They are hungry. They are talented. This is going to be a battle for the Heat. But the Heat have proved us all wrong. I would be happy to be wrong.
All right, let me go to the next one then. The Nuggets haven't played since last Monday. So if I said they're going to look sloppy and rusty in game one, is that McNuts?
This is the most overthought thing. Like, people started saying rust to me a couple 2 days ago, and I was like, what are you talking about? They've rested. They've been the number one team in the West. They've had a terrific run through the playoffs. I do not believe rust is something that you need to be concerned about with this particular squad.
Okay, and then let me give you one more. If I said there is more pressure on Nikola Jokic than any other player in these finals, is that McNuts?
This is not McNuts. I think it is time for him to stand in the shoes, all right, this is a bad analogy. Anyway, to be all that people think he can believe that he can be, right? The two MVPs, everybody chalked that up to the regular season, has not gotten this deep in the playoffs. He now has the opportunity and has so far as one of the few guys averaging a triple-double coming to the finals to prove that he's not just a regular season guy. This would be the crowning achievement so far.
It is the first ever finals appearance for the Nuggets franchise. Not just for Jokic and company. And we will have game one. We will have all the games for you coming up on ABC. Tomorrow night, game one, 8:30 Eastern. Plus, it's on ESPN Plus and ESPN Radio. Jimmy Butler in the Heat, Jokic in the Nuggets. Game one coverage tips off with us tomorrow night. NBA Countdown will be live with you, 8 Eastern on ABC from Denver. Meanwhile, I keep showing this. This has become my favorite event in the world. Wendy, what do you think
again?
Of this? This is the annual cheese rolling contest in Gloucestershire in the UK. They're just chasing a wheel of cheese because obviously they have nothing else to do with their lives. What do you think of this?
Do you think there might have been a little drinking surrounding this event?
I think there may very well have been. I don't know what time of day they do this.
You think the cheese is only the ancillary? you think the cheese is only the ancillary issue here?
These look like a collection of people that might just hurl themselves down a mountain anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think this might be an average Sunday in that part of the world.
This is giving very Florida man energy.
But by the time, we've been showing this now for 2 days, and people are sending me tweets like crazy that apparently there's a Netflix documentary on this and that there is a women's competition in this as well. So, Monica, could I interest you with this?
No, thank you.
What do you do with the cheese? Do you want the cheese that rolled down the hill? Is that something you now desire, that cheese?
I think when we see that shot, the only thing I can keep thinking is that none of us are winners. I don't care if he caught the cheese or not. Under no circumstances can I describe him as a winner. All right, as we continue, Destination DeAndre, one of the top receivers in football now on the market. Could he be the missing piece for an AFC contender? We'll find out next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and we've got a new feature, and we're going to call it Scary or Be Wary with Harry Douglas. Here we go, Harry. Will Lamar in a new offense with new weapons and a new offensive coordinator, will that be scary for opposing teams, or are you wary?
Ooh, Greeny, this is going to be scary. You talk about the addition of Todd Monken, also Zay Flowers being drafted, Odell Beckham Jr., but newsflash to everyone out there. They're not just going to abort the run game. They just got a better pass game, and they're going to put Lamar Jackson in situations to be successful in that standpoint.
All right, it's going to be scary. Let's go to Tua. Will he staying healthy for a full season be scary for the rest of the league, or are you wary of that possibility?
Surprise, surprise. I'm going scary. Year two in a Shanahan offensive system is when the offense really, really takes off. I thought they was a year ahead. They were 25th in rushing. The run game will be better. That's Mike McDaniel, and that's his baby, basically. So I think this is going to be scary for a lot of opponents, Tua Tagovailoa.
And then finally, is the thought of DeAndre Hopkins as a number one receiver, is that scary for opponents, or are you wary that he may be on the decline?
Well, I'm 2 for 2 right now. Scary. I'm going to go 3 for 3. You talk about a guy that can win the 50-50 balls, who can – you know, be quarterback friendly. That's one of the most important things, I think, when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins. He's never been an elite route runner, but he's a quarterback friendly type of wide receiver. That means they can put the ball anywhere in his catch radius, and those big hands, those long arms that he has, is going to be able to snatch it away.
All right, so he got released by Arizona, and the question is, where should he go next? Yesterday on NFL Live, our buddy Marcus, the big Swagoo Spears, gave his take on where D-Hop should be headed.
If DeAndre Hopkins wants to get paid, because he ain't like we're talking about peanuts, and want a chance to win a championship, and tired of carrying quarterbacks, that's another conversation. He carried so many quarterbacks in Houston. He had to go and carry Kyle in Arizona. Man, come on to Kansas City and fit in and just go catch for 1,000 yards and win a championship. That would be great for DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm hoping that's what happens for him.
All right, so the football squad today for you. Just joining us is Jeremy Fowler, and there's Harry and Rob Ninkovich. And, Ninko, I'll go back to the conceit that we just did here for a minute. To me, the possibility of DeAndre Hopkins on that team with that quarterback, meaning Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, that is genuinely scary. He's only 30 years old. He'll be 31 by the end of the week. I think he would be an enormous addition, maybe big enough to actually tilt the entire power balance in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a terrific addition. Now, the only thing that you would have to figure out is who would have less touches. So you bring in a guy like D-Hop, he's going to want the football. He's used to being the number one guy. He's used to being the number one target. So when you are included in a team that has Kelce that's going to touch the ball a certain amount of times, and you have go-to guys that Patrick Mahomes is happy with, would D-Hop rather go to a place where he will be the focal point, or does he feel that at the end of his career he should go and be a guy that is an addition to a great group of players that will help him get to a Super Bowl?
Well, look, I mean, I just, as quickly as I could, pulled up the numbers here. I mean, Travis Kelce was overwhelmingly their leading pass catcher last year. And these are no longer the Tyreek Hill days, Jeremy. I mean, that feels to me like he could slide right in there and occupy a significant role immediately in Kansas City.
Yes, and many teams I talked to believe the Chiefs will be involved. They had some talks with Hopkins back when he was talking with Arizona about a potential trade. But keep in mind with Kansas City, they have big, big plans, I'm told, for Kadarius Toney. The guy they traded for last year was a factor in the Super Bowl. They believe he can be whatever he wants to be. So there's a scenario where you have Travis Kelce as option one. You have Toney as sort of their number one type receiver, regardless of who they bring in. So Hopkins could be sort of a complimentary piece, an inside-outside matchup type guy. But Hopkins' market right now, I'm told, is still very slow. Well, he's getting a lot of calls, but he's taking his time. He's going slow with this. No firm decision coming really probably in the next few weeks. He could take this even up to training camp if he wants. He could also take some free agency visits to some teams. He's open to business for all 32.
So let's put the picks up on the screen, Cindy, because I asked everybody here who they think DeAndre Hopkins should play for. Of course, I took the Jets because why wouldn't I? And I see Harry's got Kansas City. Jeremy, Buffalo, you're telling us that's a one to watch closely for?
Yeah, I'm still rolling with Buffalo. I think they'll be involved to some extent. He's a perfect fit in that offense opposite Stephon Diggs and Dalton Kincaid. They've been so close, nearly averaging 12 wins per season over the last 4 years. Time to get over the finish line and get to the Super Bowl.
And then, Ninko, I can't even fathom putting DeAndre Hopkins on the field with both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Well, Harry said it before, matchups. When you're a defender and you're game planning against the team that you're about to go against, you have certain matchups that you have to focus on. So if you are the Miami Dolphins and you see D-Hop out there and if you're able to acquire him, the matchup problem that the Miami Dolphins would have against every team would be almost unfathomable, hard to stop that combination. So Tua having to, you know, bounce back from an injury-riddled season last year, if you have more targets, get the ball out of your hands quickly, get it to your playmakers, I think Miami would be a great stop, and it's also nice and warm, palm trees, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it sounds like I hear what you're talking about. Once again, I will put the Jets on that screen as many times as I possibly can. Meanwhile, let's go to a different place in Florida, because meanwhile on planet Earth, we want you to see what life looks like after Tom Brady for the Bucs, Baker Mayfield, and Kyle Trask doing the Harry, how are you feeling right now? And as we see them struggling to complete passes here against air, how are you feeling right now if you are a receiver in Tampa?
If you can't complete passes on air, you don't stand a damn chance. That's what our coaches used to tell us. There's no defense out there. Remember now, this is a former number one overall draft pick that we're talking about that can't complete a seam route against air. There's no defense out there. Unbelievable, Greeny.
That's not pretty to watch. And Kyle Trask was a second-round pick, too. Look, let's see. Give them some time. But one way or another, Tom's going to be in the owner's box in Las Vegas. Meanwhile, all rise. Yankees, Mariners yesterday. Top of one, bases loaded. One out, no score. Aaron Judge is on base. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is at the plate. That's a base hit. Scores two runs, Judge and Gleyber Torres, and the Yankees have the early 2-0 lead, but we're showing it to you because Aaron Judge did what he does best. Top of seven, nobody out, all rise. That's Judge to left center, and it's gone in a hurry. His 18th of the season, and the Yankees go on to win it by a final score of 10-2. Aaron Judge heating up as he returns from the injured list. Our first take is coming up right around the corner here. Should the Celtics give Jaylen Brown an extension? Are we seeing the end of the Warriors dynasty? First take, Molly, Stephen A., JJ, Mad Dog, and more next on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, before we go, Harry Douglas, you are a professional catcher of balls. Let me see which of these is the greater catch. We got a Blue Jays fan making a great one-handed grab right there. And then we got Brandon Nimmo making a great catch at the wall. Take a look and you tell me who did it better.
Oh, this is easy. I'm going with the fan, not because I'm biased and I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. But Nemo needed a glove. The fan is sitting down and didn't. But his sunglasses in his shirt, and he has a cell phone in the right hand, and nothing fazed him at any moment. I agree. With the fan in this one, Greeny. Sorry.
Very impressive.
I'm with that as well. Mm-hmm. McNutt, outstanding as always. Great to have you. Everybody, we're on the road. We'll see you from Denver tomorrow night for Game 1. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.